and the crowd was following him. And they were worshiping and shouting and praising God for the miracles that they had saw him do. And on the other side was a woman with a crowd coming out of the city. They were mourning, amen, because she was taking her only son to the graveyard to bury him. But when the mourning group, amen, touched the worshiping group, amen, God began to move. And God, Jesus, just reached down into that casket. Amen, and he took that child by the hand. Amen, and he raised up and he gave it back to his mother.
She said they would carry you out of here.
just can't praise Him enough.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember when I was in heaven, I had that $10 in my pocket.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I went to church one night. Had $5 to my name. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, give the preacher that $5. I said, Lord, that $5 is all I got. And I got to have gas this week to get back. Well, I know I don't have to go very far, but I still got to have gas. And I might even want a Pepsi Cola or something, you know. And the Lord said, give the preacher that $5. I remember just like it was yesterday. When I walked up and I told God, I can't do it. God said, I ain't going to ask you more. I might ask you one more time. I ain't going to ask you more. I said, okay. See if I can find it. I knew where it was all the time. And so when I got that $5 and I walked up there, you know what the preacher was doing? He had his hand out. God already spoke to him. It wasn't about the $5.
No.
It was about the obedience of giving.
Yeah.
Amen. And when I gave it, I went home that next morning and got ready to go to work. And my landlord came out and said, Eddie, I know your mom and dad ain't here no more, so I'm going to drop your rent $5 a week. Amen. When I looked in the covers, I found groceries. I didn't even know what was there. And I'll tell you something else I found. When the devil came in and stood in front of my bed, and the devil said, I'm going to jump on you. I laid my Bible across my chest. Amen. And I went off to sleep. Amen. And a little bit I heard him come back again. Oh, the devil don't sneak in. He makes a racket when he comes in. Hello, somebody. He'll make a racket. He wants you to know he's coming in. And I come to tell you, greater is he that is in us than he that is.
First, before I get started, it's good to be home. Took a little trip to Georgia. And in the process, I got sick, so it's good to be on the mend. And I thank God for all of you who mentioned me in prayers.
Going to Georgia.
Yeah, mentioned me in prayers, and holding me up. I do appreciate it. And I wish you'd kept on. You was on. But I want to add on to what he said specifically. When he talked about praying in the Holy Ghost, something's been on my mind a lot. I really believe what you said, Brother Watson, was absolutely 100%. We need to be praying in the Holy Ghost every day. And the Bible said, the Bible talks about building your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I got to thinking, you know what it really represents in our prayer life when we pray, learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. And we take the things that God has given us. I'm talking about the good and the bad. And everything that He gives us and allows us to experience. Those things are simply bricks in our life. But you know what? You can take all the bricks that you want to. You can stack them up. You can create a building and a structure with nothing but bricks.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have mortar,
come on.
Come on.
Man.
I said, if you don't have mortar, when the winds begin to howl and the storms begin to come, if there's no mortar between your bricks, that structure is coming down. I said, that structure is coming down. So you can fool yourself all you want to and say you don't have to pray in the Holy Ghost as long as you pray. But I'm here to tell you, you better get some mortar in your life. You better learn to pray in the Spirit. You better learn how to get under the burden of prayer. I'm telling you, in 2024, I don't want any now I lay me down to sleep prayers. I want some prayers that move God. I want some effectual, fervent prayers. It's going to touch the throne of God. Hallelujah. And I felt the Lord speak to me to say this to you today. We've been having prayer meeting now for, I don't know, months to a year. And we haven't had it all that long. And attendance has gotten a little bit better, but it still could be a lot better. But it is at least gained. This is what I feel the Lord wanted me to tell you. That you need to recognize that when you come to the house of God and we gather ourselves to prayer, it's no different than when we take money and we put it into our checking account or our savings account. It's no different. Now, there's a lot of accounts and you can't draw it once you put it in there right away. It has to mature. It has to stay there a while. Walk in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on. So I'm telling you, sometimes your prayers have to mature before you can see it come to fruition and you can see it come to pass.
That's right.
And that's the way it is in the economic world, and so it is in the spiritual world. But you can best believe, if you've been praying, if you've been seeking God, there's something in that account to draw off of. Somewhere down the road, Brother Watson, somewhere down the road, the prayers that we've been praying, we're going to be able to draw. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to get baptized. Somebody's going to get a miracle. Because there's been something that's put in the bank account, in the spiritual bank account. I'm going to encourage you to pray the more. I'm going to encourage you to pray the more. I'm going to encourage you to pray with more fervor. I'm going to encourage you to pray with more intention. I'm going to encourage you to pray more frequently. Put more in the account. Because when we get ready to draw, we can draw so much more.
Right.
I'm telling you, anybody in the financial world, you get ready to go to retirement days and they say, hey man, start putting it in there as soon as you can, even if it's just a little bit. But the more that you put in, come retirement days, the more you're going to have to live off of. And I believe that Sister Tatum would tell you, after living for God all these years, that the more that you put into it in the later years, even in sickness, the more you can draw off that thing. The more you can draw from the presence of God and His bank account. I'm just here to tell you, it's going to pan out when you pray. Hallelujah, it works. Now, I've got a long message in a short period of time, so I'm going to have to hit the road fast and hard. You going to preach with me?
Amen.
First Peter. I'm going to try to go as fast as I can. If I have to cut it short, if I feel the Lord is okay, then I'll cut it short. If I feel a lot different, I'm going to keep going now, all right?
All right.
First Peter chapter 4. Verse 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, and when His glory be revealed, that ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Let's pray. Brother Watson, would you lead us in prayer?
Oh, Lord, we come to you right now.
Dio
lo può rilassare, Ishe
lo può rilassare. Dio lo può rilassare.
Dio lo può
rilassare. Dio
You may be seated in Jesus' name. Everybody say with me, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, let the power of God be demonstrated through your word today. In Jesus' name. Say it again. In Jesus' name. Praise God. You know, undoubtedly, we think within ourselves of all of the things that we go through and we deal with and we struggle with in life, and life's challenges and life's trials. It's easy for us to think that the men of old, when Paul was addressing the men of old, that they were just having revival all the time, and that there was no problems, no issues, no circumstances that were in their way or to trouble them or to cause them some problems. But that we read the words that Paul said, and Paul began to minister to them and said, I know that you're going through some things, but I see and perceive that you are dealing with some circumstances. But you need to understand that it's not God against you. It's not God against you. God is very much for you. And he goes on to say, think it not strange that the fiery trials of life, which are to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. Come on, how many of us would be honest enough to say that sometimes when things begin to happen in our life and they fall apart and they go the wrong direction, we if we're not careful, we throw a pity party and we say, why is this strange thing happened to me? Why is this coming my way? Well, I'm simply here to preach to you one simple thought, and the message and the title of my message is God's Purpose in the Extreme. God's Purpose in the Extreme. And that was what he was telling them. Hey, I'm here to tell you that there's a purpose in what you're going through.
Amen.
If you're dealing with things today, I'm here to tell you that God's got a purpose in your extreme circumstance.
Yes, he does.
Hallelujah. You might be going through pain. You might be going through misery. You might be going through anguish. But I'm here to tell you, you can deal with a lot if you understand that there's a reason and a purpose. That it's not without a purpose. It's not without a structure. It's not without a reason. When you can deal with all that, you can go through it so much more. When you know that God is doing something through it all and in it all.
Amen.
Yes. When I began to think about what God had given me in this message, in my mind immediately went to all of the extremes of life. And I began to think about the different extreme things that we can experience in life. And I began to think even on the planet, this earth, this ball that we live on, in the extremes of life. And so we question and think about, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you, I really don't enjoy extremes. And somebody mentioned if I live in up north, I know I wouldn't deal well very good with it. I don't like zero temperatures.
Amen.
But on the other hand, I really don't like sometimes in the summertime when we've got it 100 degrees even.
Right.
Excuse me, there's something inside of my nature. I like it about 77 degrees. I like when things are good. I don't like extreme situations. Have you ever wondered why God allows in nature that there be such extremes in our world, even to the point of looking at the Arctic? Just look and thinking about the Arctic Circle. Thinking about the temperatures of the Arctic Circle. You can't go to the Arctic Circle without special measures and expect to live. It's too cold there. Why would God allow that in this world that there would even be an Arctic Circle? That a place that's so extreme that you can't even live there without special measures. Why would God allow it? And then we begin to see and understand that the Arctic Sea acts as a huge white reflector at the top of the planet. And it bounces the sun rays back from into space and to the earth. it keeps the earth at an overall even temperature. So the things that we see extreme that we think that we could do without are very crucial and very important because they act as a balance. I said they act as a balance for the overall temperature of the face of the earth.
Amen. Amen.
Death Valley's temperatures have reached 134 degrees. It makes it the hottest on the planet. Can you imagine being in 134 degrees? My God in heaven, why would you ever allow that there would be any place on the face of the earth? God, you know that what we like, you know we like 77, 78, at the most 82, 83 degrees. You know what we like. Why in the world would you have a world where there's such a place as the Death Valley where temperatures have reached 134?
Amen. Come on.
Their dry conditions create a concentration. Here's what we don't know. Here's what you don't see beside the temperatures.
Come on.
Here's the good. Their dry conditions create a concentration of essential minerals such as gypsum, potassium, and other salts that are crucial to us today. 50% of the copper comes out of those kind of conditions.
Amen.
How much copper do we use in our world today?
Amen.
So many things that we take for granted. There's a reason that they're there. It's God allows all these things that have nothing to do with moderates. They're extreme. They're a challenge. They're difficult. It's time for us to recognize that God has shown in nature the extremes that are put in place are there for a very purpose that we cannot see or understand. And I'm here to tell you in your life, when you live this life, whether you live for God or without, you're going to live through extremes. But I'm here to tell you, if you're a child of God, that in that midst of all of those extremes, there is a purpose, there is a plan, there is a hope, there is something that you can have in your side of your soul that says, I don't care what I must go through, what extreme I must live through. I know my Redeemer. You are not the only one to experience life in extremes. But sometimes we can feel so all alone. Sometimes we can feel that we have been left by God to face the most extreme circumstances. And if you're not quick, if you're not very careful, you'll be like what Paul was addressing. I'm sure that he was sensing that there was those that are questioning God. Why, Lord? Why? Why I'm going through some fiery trials? Strange. It doesn't make any sense. According to your will, but I know your will is to be blessed, for me to be blessed. I know your will is for me to be healthy. I know your will is for me to be spiritually fed and thoroughly flourishing. But I'm not at the moment. Today we live in a world, we're talking about extremes. We live in a world where evil seems to dominate.
Come on.
Is anybody going to get with me? I said we live in a world where evil seems to dominate. Everywhere you turn.
Everywhere you turn.
There's a domination of evil that is ever present before you. And there's a spirit that will rise up and questions and rise up and say, my God, what in the world is going on? All I see and everywhere I look is somebody's killing somebody.
Hey.
Somebody's ripping somebody off.
Hey.
Somebody's telling somebody something that's cruel and evil. Somebody's misleading people in politics and every other kind of way. My God, why? And I'm here to tell you that evil seems to dominate. But while it seems to dominate, I'm here to tell you that it's only a mirage. Romans 5:20-21 says, but where sin abounded, grace did that much more abound. It's not sin that abounds, it's grace that abounds. I said it's not sin that abounds, it's grace. Yes, it abounds, but grace overruns
trumps it and supersedes it.
Amen.
Yeah. Much more.
Amen.
Much more.
Amen.
Much more.
Yeah.
Much more.
Yeah.
You see, you're surrounded by grace today. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, the good news is, Levi, yes, you're surrounded by an evil world, but you're surrounded by God of all grace. You're surrounded by a church where you can so easily pray through the Holy Ghost that's been testified here today. It's the grace of God that's here. And you can experience it today. Hallelujah. Yes, grace. But grace can come sometimes with garments of negativity. Because sometimes it looks one way when it's something else. It's clothed as something else. I'm telling you, sometimes grace comes in a way that does not appeal to us in any way or any form. But it's still grace nonetheless. The Bible said in James 5:14, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Watch this. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Yes.
Now I think it's important to note that the Bible says sins and not sin.
Amen.
Because I don't believe that the Lord allows sickness to come over a sin that you can easily repent of and be gone. But when you live in a state of sinfulness,
come on.
When it sins and not sin. Come on, I said when it sins and not sin, then the Lord will allow things to come upon us. And the Bible said, if this sickness can be, as we know, this sickness can just be a sickness. Doesn't have anything to do with sin. But sometimes God will allow sickness to come as a reproof, and if we will not turn in repentance. God allows sin in our lives to be exposed and corrected by sickness. Not that God's going to tell me that there's necessarily that there's any sin in your life.
Come on.
He exposes it to you.
Amen.
Yeah. He exposes it to me.
Yeah.
But it can be one of God's instruments of correction if we're not responding to His voice. You see, it's the will of God that you respond to His voice. He doesn't want you sick. He doesn't want you to be in misery. He doesn't want you to suffer. But if you can't do it any other way, this grace that we've talked about that is ever abounding will come to you in this form to say, hey, you need me. You need me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The remedy to sin is still repentance. And it's modeled in the book of James. Turn with me in James chapter 4, 1 through 11. He says, listen now, you got to consider this. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence out of your lusts? You mean Holy Ghost filled believers with lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. Ye cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Ye adulterers, you mean in the church? Of a living God, yes. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he that giveth more grace, but he giveth, say it with me, but he giveth more grace, but he giveth more grace. He's talking to adulterers. He's talking to the most wretched people in that day in terms of their lifestyle and their sin, but he's saying to them, but he giveth more grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wherefore, he said, I'm getting into true repentance now, God resisteth the proud.
but giving grace to the humble. You see, even in your sinful condition, of this kind of condition of sin that you're full of lust and adultery, even in this, the Bible said, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You see, you're not going to be able to turn in repentance until you submit yourself first unto God. You've taken yourself out of God's will. You're taking yourself out of the purpose of God. And you're doing your own thing. So the first thing you got to do is you got to submit yourselves to God.
Amen.
And the next thing he said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you're living that lifestyle, you have to tell the devil and you have to make up in your own mind, I'm not going to live that life anymore. I'm burying it just like I buried the past of sin. So far, I'm going to do it again. Sin's got to be behind me. And you, until you submit to God and resist the devil's going to be right by your side to get you right back in the condition that you were in.
Amen.
So true repentance is submission to God and resist the devil.
Yes.
And then the Bible said, he will flee from you.
Right.
But you've got to do what he said. You've got to submit to God and resist the devil. Hey, I got news for you. If you're dealing in pornography, he's not going to flee. If you're dealing with spiritual lust, if you're thinking thoughts that you shouldn't think, if you're telling jokes on the job that you shouldn't tell, or even listening to jokes on the job that you shouldn't listen to, he's not going to flee. He said, draw nigh to God. Watch this. And he will draw nigh to you. What's he saying? Pray. What have I told you a few minutes ago? What did your pastor tell you a few minutes ago? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Even in your sinful condition, you can get back to God. Come on. Even in your sinful condition, you can get back to drawing close to God and nigh to God. If you're willing to pray in the Holy Ghost, if you're willing to show up around here and begin to pray and seek the face of God and say, Lord, I need you. I know the condition I'm in. I'm desperate to need of you. And you begin to draw nigh to God. The Bible said he will draw nigh to you. And he said, cleanse your hands. You sinners. He's not going to be drawn to impurity. You're going to have to cleanse yourself from unrighteous ways if you want the Lord back on your side to win on your behalf. And he said, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Do you know what that means? Do you know, come on, is anybody going to give me that? Do you know what it means to be double-minded? Well, I want to live for God, but
come on,
Brother Watson, I can't overcome that. I want to. I know I need to. I know I need to quit looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. Oh, that's really. I know it's a problem. I know God's not pleased with it. And you know my heart. I love God. Double-minded. Double-minded.
Come on.
Now, Brother Watson, you know I'm here, I'm sincere, and I'm faithful to give to the house of God, but I got things that just, I think God understands me. He understands my issues and my tendencies and my problems.
Right.
Double-minded. Now, Brother Watson, you know I love to pray and I love to come to the house of God, but when you're talking about going that extra mile and doing those things that I need to do for God, you just got to understand my limitations because I know God does double-minded.
Amen.
The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways.
Amen.
You're not of any worth or value to God until you get to the place and your point and you say, God, I'm all yours. Every bit of me, every bit of who I am, every bit of what I think, what I say, what goes through my mind, what goes through my heart, it belongs to you. Until that point comes, you are double-minded.
Man.
He said, you got to get rid of it. And then he said, be afflicted. Oh, I don't like that. You know, when you're talking about affliction, really you're getting into the land of fasting. I don't want that. That's tough. I don't like that. Be afflicted. I know, me too. I can tell. Every time I look in the mirror, I don't like it either. And if we all looked at one another honestly, we'd say we're all afflicted with the wrong thing, and that's the desire to eat a little too much. Just being real with you today. But the Bible says, be afflicted and mourn. I don't like mourning.
No.
I don't want to cry. I don't want to weep. But He said in His Word, hey, you want to experience true repentance? I know we want to laugh. We love the joy. I love the joy of the Lord. But the Bible says, weeping only endures for the night. Joy comes in the morning. But you've got to be willing to experience the morning. And I'm talking about the extremes. God's extremes. God has a purpose in the extreme. He has a purpose in that sorrow. The Bible said godly sorrow worketh repentance. You see, that mourning that you're going through is doing you a world of good that you don't even probably recognize. That sorrow, those tears are coming down the cheek, the saltiness, the bitterness, but it's doing so much good in your spirit, and it's doing so much good in your soul. And if you want real joy, you've got to experience all of the extremes of life. Praise God. And your joy to heaviness. You know what? Something I recognize, I hope you do too. We're believing God for a great year in souls. But if we're not allowing our joy to be turned to heaviness and a burden to prayer, till it grips us a point that we touch heaven in such a unique way that God cannot turn His face from His church. I know these are not things that are fun. They're not fun to hear. They're certainly not easy, even fun to say, because I recognize in me, I've got to do the same thing, and my flesh doesn't like it either. My flesh doesn't like it any more than your flesh likes. But I'm not here to entertain flesh. I'm not here to appease to my flesh nor to your flesh. But I stand in this pulpit to bring you the Word of God. And to tell you that true repentance is to humble yourselves in the sight of God. And the Bible said, He shall lift you up. My friend, you can be as low as anybody. You can be to where you're looking up to see the top of the sidewalk. But I'm here to tell you that if you will do the things that I'm preaching to you, the Word of God said that He will lift you up. Right. Praise God. Praise God.
Glory.
You see, God did not put the extremes of life in your life to challenge your faith. That's not the purpose of it. Both of the extremes of life are good and bad. They're building blocks for a holy temple. Do you realize that? That's why the Bible said that all things work together. That both the good and the bad, they're all just building blocks of faith. And when you put the mortar in it, like I told you, you start building a holy temple. There is a purpose for all these extreme circumstances. So God puts the extremes in your life, not to challenge your faith, but to build your faith.
Amen.
The Bible said in St. Luke 21:19, watch this. In your patience, possess ye your soul.
Amen.
I said, in your patience,
yes,
possess ye your souls.
Amen.
So while I don't like the extreme, Brother Miles, I do not like the extreme of the temperature.
Yes.
I do not like the extreme of the test. I don't like the extremes of the trial. I don't like the extremes of being talked about. I don't like the extremes of life. While I don't like all of these things, but they are there for a purpose. They are there for a reason. So that I can possess my soul through patience.
Yes.
Thank God.
that.
Amen.
Because when the devil comes for me to try to destroy me, he can't work much through patience, because you just kind of shrug it to the side and you say, I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
You just say, joy comes every time he says, hey, what about all this sorrow and all this misery? You just say, hey, night's going to endure as long as it's going to endure. But joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
But you see, you don't get all this at by accident. You don't get all this without the experiences and springs of life. So many want to have a test without the testimony. But if you ever want to have a testimony, the test has to come, or you don't really even have much of a testimony. Praise God. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the air condition.
No.
I counsel thee to buy gold found in 76 degrees.
Yes. Come on, no.
I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire.
Yeah.
You don't get much more extreme than a fire.
That's right.
And isn't it amazing? I talked about God's purpose in the extreme. Did you know when you get a wildfire, it can do so much damage and bring so much havoc to life and change people's lives, put misery in people's lives, but the after effects is you will get new green growth. Are you hearing me today? So when even in the worst case scenario, I don't like tornadoes, I don't like hurricanes, I don't like wildfires. But in the worst case scenario, there's going to be a green sheet that comes up from that old stinking smell of the coal and the embers and the dead embers and the smoke. There is, praise God, new growth. You see, God has a purpose in the most crazy extremes that we can't even put our minds on. We can't even wrap our minds around the terrible extremes we go. And the devil will say it to you, and he will. You know if God really loved you.
Yeah.
You know if God really loved you.
Yeah.
Would you really be going through this? Just tell me, would you really be going through what you're going through? Outside if God, that's what the devil will tell you.
Yeah.
He's really kind of forsaken you, hadn't he? He's really kind of let you on your own.
Amen.
And yet when you come up here, you feel the power of God.
Yeah.
God reminds you.
Yeah.
Let you.
Come on.
You know, how much do we see this illustrated in life? Even the battery has both a negative charge and a positive charge.
Amen.
I don't like it. Don't you like it when the preacher preaches about heaven and about faith and about things happening? But sometimes he mounts that pulpit there and he starts cutting down on sin and things in our life and they're negative. But I'm here to tell you, you need the negative and the positive to have a real charge. You won't have an electrical current unless you have the negative and the positive together. So Brother Watson, preach to me. And preach to me hard. And tell me the truth. I don't want to believe a lie. I don't want to believe a lie about myself. I want to know the truth. And I want to not only hear the truth, I want to believe the truth.
Amen. Come on.
Good preaching.
Thank you, Jesus.
The truth is gold is not produced at 77 degree temperatures.
That's right.
I want you to know, there have been people that have lived a life and experiences the challenges of life and the hardships of life that you and I have never endured. I'm going to give you a little background on somebody. I'm not going to tell you his name right away. But this person, let me say this before I say that. I felt the Holy Ghost move on me. And it was about the time that we first started having all these bad things happen with COVID, and then we saw political things be revealed to us, like we're going, my God, what in the world's going on in our world today? There was a lot of bad things happening. And I'm telling you, if I miss God, I miss God. But I really believe God told me this. Greatness is going to be revealed.
Amen.
Amen.
In all of the darkness.
Yeah.
In all of the weakness. In all of the bad things.
Amen.
There's going to be some great people come forth that know their God. That you don't even know about.
Amen.
Yes, you don't know a thing about them. But greatness is revealed by the fire. Greatness is revealed by the test. It's not revealed when everything is going our way, folks. Because you see, we can just kind of go along in life. We need the extremes. We need the extremes. How much do we need the extremes? Well, I'll tell you. Can I share with you the most powerful revelation that God gave me? I'll do it right now. Can I do that?
Yeah.
The most powerful revelation that God ever personally gave me. Let me ask it to you this way. How many people have ever had people, heard people, or had it said to you, well, you know, if God existed, we would not have all the things going on in the world that's evil.
Yeah.
People, little children being mistreated. If God really existed, if God was really as good as people say He is, we would not have in this world what we have right now.
Right.
Anybody beside me? I said, just curious. I said, just showing you. Not me, I guess.
Sure.
Maybe I see 3 or 4 or 5. You heard it said. Somebody questioned God. Want to know why it is it, why bad things happen to good people? Why is it that all of these things happen? Well, my Bible tells me, I wrote the scripture down, I seem to be missing it. Maybe Brother Watson can help me with this real quick. But the Bible, the Lord said that He created evil. Is it Isaiah 45 and 7? I think it is. Let's see if we can get there and see if that's where it's at. I might be wrong about that. If you got it, or if you know where it's at. What does it say?
7.
What does it say?
I formed the light and created darkness.
What? That sounds pretty extreme to me. He said, I created light, and I created what?
And I created darkness.
And I created darkness.
Mm-hmm. I make peace. And create evil.
What?
And create evil.
Say it one more time.
And create evil.
You mean the great God of heaven who abides in the glories and the greatness of light said, I created darkness and I created evil.
Amen. I created evil.
I created evil.
How the Lord will do all things.
How the Lord will do all things. So He said. Have you ever thought about it? Now I know the scripture cannot be foreign to you. Cannot be foreign to you, right? How many of you have wondered at that? I'm going to help you right now with something. Can I get a participation? How many of you have thought, Lord, why in the world would you create evil? All of these things that I'm fighting and I'm battling and I hate and I despise and I don't like it. It's such an extreme thing to do. Why in the world? And one more time, can I see a show of hands? You ever wondered why?
Amen.
We got a few honest people in the house. It dawned on me one time. Brother Miles, it dawned on me. The Lord said,
yes.
If I had not created evil, you would not know me the way you know me.
Right.
You would not know my goodness. You would not know my grace.
Right.
You would not know my mercy. You would not know my power. But you know my power and my grace and my goodness and my mercy because I created evil. That I've ever personally got from God. Because what that does for me, I'll tell you what it does for me. It makes me to realize that everything is to glorify Him and to magnify Him.
It's not about me and what I'm going through.
It's not about you and what you're going through. It's about glorifying and magnifying Him. It's about the peace. It's all the glory and the praise. And you see, He will never give the glory and the praise until you see Him as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the mirror that He was my God, I saw Him lifted up and his train filled the temple. the train, they say that what that was is that all of his victories, the king's victories, were on the train. They were written on the train. So the Lord said, I'm going to show you how great I really am. Only a God who loves you is going to show you how great he is. Do you get this? I said, only a God that loves you intently would ever care that you know how great, how good, how awesome he is. But to do it, he had to create evil.
Right.
Because if you just had a garden of Eden, there's no nobody, there's no sin, there's no nothing but God. He's awesome. But in that awesomeness, you never know about his grace because you don't experience grace. You don't know about his long suffering because you don't experience long suffering. You never know about his true kind heart because you never had to repent. So he allowed evil to come that you might know him. Praise God. I said all that. I kind of got off track a little bit, but I wanted to share that with you. Because it fits with what I'm talking about today. So I'm going to get back to my clothes. I'm going to tell you about a person. There was a man in our world, in our country, who experienced such terrible negativity and bad happenings that happened in his life. Let me enumerate some of them. This is not all of them. He was defeated for state legislator. He had a sweetheart who he really was probably headed toward marriage. He loved her. And she died before he could ever get to that point. He had a sweetheart he cared for intently, and she died. He was defeated for House Speaker. Obviously, he was a politician. Watch this. Something Ben will shadow in this one. His wife was a notorious free spender. So beside the fact he suffered all these political defeats, when he finally gets in office, his wife's giving his money out because she wants to go to the store and buy something all the time. He got frustrated with her spending ways. She was notorious for it. He presided as president over a country that became completely split and torn. And he had been born into a dirt poor family. His mother passed away when he was only 9. He had a great life, didn't he? Everything went his way, right? It's all so good. His sons passed away at the age of 3 and 11. One would precede him and then die at the age of 18. And finally, they killed him. But out of this man, who had all of this negativity, there came these words of gold, because there was gold inside of him. And he said this, 87 years ago, our forefathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty.
Amen.
Of course, the man was Abraham Lincoln.
Amen.
He experienced all of the negative things of life. And that greatness was there, buried, waiting to be tested and tried by the challenges of what he would face.
Amen.
And it would have never come forth had there never been a civil war.
Yes.
We never know. He's considered tied with probably what most people consider him to be. Well, I'll put it this way. You can go to Washington, D.C., and probably the most prominent monument is the Lincoln Memorial. So how much did he really achieve in life despite all of the setbacks? Now, I don't know why the Lord gave me this today, but undoubtedly somebody really wrestled with some of that. and some things are not going your way. And you just need to understand that God has a purpose in this.
Amen.
True.
Amen. Yes. 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 Listen, Lord. Listen, Jesus.
I lost a son, and he was only 21. I don't understand it. I never will understand it. But God has got a purpose in the extreme. You know, I don't, and you can stand, I'm closing. I'm sure you've heard the song. It's one of the most moving songs in probably old-time gospel religious music. And the song says, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul." Some of you, that's just a boring song out of the past. But if you study the origin of that song, you'll come away with a different look on it. Mm-hmm. It won't be just an old song out of the past. You'll recognize the gold that was buried in the soul.
Amen.
That had to have terrible tragedy. His children. Mm-hmm. Look up the story. It is well. The story at sea. It happened at sea.
Mm-hmm.
When all this fell around him, devastation had come. He writes these. He pens these lyrics that will probably forever be remembered. Out of the trial and the test of all tests in modern, in that particular time, probably very few people had gone through what he went through. But that song still resonates with a lot of people. Never forget, just because certain things don't resonate with you doesn't mean that it doesn't resonate with somebody else. Because they understand the depth. You know, one of the reasons why I'm really resolute about holding on to a lot of the songs of the past and not just doing like our religious world today, our church world is gone. Whole after the new music, and they are letting go of a lot of the old songs. And I'll tell you one reason why I refuse to do it is because there was great trials and tests that were produced. I mean, these songs were produced out of great trials and circumstances.
Right.
And what you end up with is not just a simple little lyric. You end up with the depth of somebody's soul.
Yes.
And the depth of somebody's soul will always minister to somebody in need.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Just bow our heads. Lord. Lord, you've been here powerful. You've been here rich, Lord. Lord, there's a purpose in our extreme situations. There's a purpose in what I'm going through. There's a purpose in what Brother Watson's going through. Not just us, God. Lord, it's not just us. There are many people today, Lord, that are experiencing things. And I believe you sent this simple message to remind them. They probably knew it to some degree. But, Lord, to remind them and really paint the picture clear for them that there's a purpose for the life in all of these extremes that we experience. I pray, O God, that you would minister to them right now. Let the final moments of this service, Lord, be a ministry to their heart and to their spirit. I just don't quite feel to just close out like this. I feel like we need to sing a song, and those who feel the need come up here and recognize that the Word of God was for you, and you've been going through things and dealing with things, and it's helped you today. It's helped you to understand. I feel like I ought to open this up to you today if you come.
Believe it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it.
what we're going to pray. We're going to pray a very specific prayer for you. That prayer is that the grace of God that you know is the grace that is with you, is that it's going to stay with you in the knowledge as you go through the challenges and through what you're going through in your trials and your tests. The Lord's going to thank you to know that He is that present help in the time of trouble. Lord Jesus, we pray, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus, let her know, oh God, in the midst, oh Lord, of the fire. God, she, you know the test and the trial and the furnace, oh God. But you said in your word that she would come forth as gold when it's all said and done. She said, come forth as gold, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus, she would come forth as gold in the midst of all of this. Bring a peace. I pray the perfect order that passes all.
And he would crawl to us.
get a beautiful smile on a child that any child can have. But during the night, his lungs and his heart filled up with fluid. And when my wife the next morning went to get him out of bed, he rolled over and he was just like as my jacket. She began to scream to the top of her lungs. Our world had just got turned upside down. And I know I could have very easily said, God, if this is the way it is, I'm done. I could have said that. But I didn't blame God. And we kept holding on. Because there was days that my wife didn't even want to get out of bed. Days that she would fix a bottle of diapers for 4 months after he was gone. 4 years went by before you could even mention Timothy's name to her. And God gave her peace after 4 years. But no, she woke me up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. She said, Timothy just came to me. I said, honey, you got to get a hold of yourself. I said, you got 2 other children now. Kevin was born during the time of our grief. And I told my wife, I said, you got to get a hold of God. Because you got 2 other children to take care of. She said, you don't understand. Timothy came to me. She said he was dressed in a little white robe and he was standing on a cloud. He had his little hand stretched out and said, Mommy, come to me. That's why we can sing that song. I've got more to go to him with Paul than I had yesterday. Hallelujah. Amen. I've got more to go to him with Paul than I had yesterday. And from that day on, when it's his birthday 40-something years later, when it's his birthday, you know, or the day that he passed away, it will be on her mind, but not like it was. God has been good to us. Sometimes God takes the extreme to get your attention. I don't want him to ever do that again. But no, I don't want him to ever get my attention that way again. Amen. But listen, your world can be turned upside down overnight. One day it can seem like you got the tiger by the tail. And the next day, amen, you're afraid to even die. You know he won't live. I'm telling you, God is your helper. He's your ever-present help in the time of trouble. And you can go to him when you don't feel like you can. Has anybody ever felt like God wasn't there? He was a million miles away. I have. Felt like God wasn't there, but God was there all the time. Thank you, Brother Marsh, for the Word of God. Amen. Good to see you.